fade out. Nice slow fade out. Got that down now. I feel very confident.
There you go. Good.
Good.
Feel very confident. Nice my thing says it is actually recording. So we're not going to do 50 minutes of silence.
Okay,
which is kind of good.
Yeah, that's good.
If we're all getting together here.
That's a little
here.
Reassuring.
We have Brandon Pratt with us today. He's second time on the podcast.
Yep.
Going to talk about housing market. Interest rates. That's his business. He's the man. We have Jimmy and Pat back with us. Jimmy with a huge load off of his shoulders. We'll talk about that in a little bit after the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
So you say.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Yeah.
Kim
That's
Smith
the word
is
of the
with
day.
Us.
Hola. Here's my little Spanish book I'm writing Spanish in the car for my trip to Mexico.
I'm surprised you're doing it that way and not like there's so many of these kind of like online learn how to speak different language things.
Well, because I have to spend so much time in my car.
That's what I mean, though. In your car, you can, in the car, it's an audio thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm listening to. It's a CD, though.
Oh, I thought you had
Oh, no, it's a CD. And this is the little booklet that goes with it.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I should probably do that for Paris.
Yes, it's fun. Sweet. It's really fun.
A couple weeks. I'm only 2 weeks out.
Tom.
I know no Spanish, and I'm two weeks out.
Tom.
French. I know no French.
Tom found this program, and he's doing it too. We're both doing it in our cars.
How is it coming along? Are you feel like you're learning some? Huh?
I'm on lesson one.
Well, you have some time. When are you going to Mexico?
In a couple weeks. Un coche grande, un coche pequeño.
A coche is what?
Car.
Oh, okay. I was worried. I thought you said coochie.
You were just there.
No. A coche, coochie grande.
Coochie pequeño.
Everybody wants the coochie pequeño.
I know that.
Oh, my God.
Coochie, coochie, coochie.
You would turn that.
It didn't take long.
Well, you were saying it. I didn't say it. You said coochie grande.
And we're back.
You would turn that.
Speaking of Valentine's Day, coochie grande, coochie pequeño. Everybody had a nice Valentine's Day?
Oh, it was one. Well, we went to Duckworth.
Duckworth. You can't go wrong. Right. So she has a...
I have a hot tip.
This is a hot tip. This is an insider take.
Okay.
This is fantastic news. And people... This is one of the we have bookmarks during the podcast for value added. This is what we're going to bookmark this as value added.
Okay. Dun da dun.
Wait. I'm going to give the news. Oh, I don't have the news thing. I haven't put it in. Okay.
This is the second time in a row Tom has done this. He makes reservations at Duckworth while we're sitting there at dinner for the following year. So,
okay.
Yeah, so you can do that. And
so you know how hard it is to get a reservation.
Yeah, usually dinner at 4:30 or 10 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's the time they can get in.
That's right. Yeah.
There's 10 people ahead of us, but I think you could still get a nice spot.
That's very good to know.
Yes.
We'll have to probably call them right after this.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
That's an insider take right there.
I like that. Yeah.
I had no idea that they would do that.
Yes.
And here's the beauty. This is going to be published tonight.
Yeah, you got
so a head start.
So you have a head start.
I think I have
this gets posted at 8 p.m., so you have a little bit of a window there that you can make your reservation.
Making it right now.
Yes.
My problem is February. I don't know if I'm going to be here or not.
Yes, well, that's...
But for other occasions,
I
could do that.
For other occasions, and also, I mean, I wouldn't suggest making a reservation and not knowing. But
I wouldn't do that to them because they're such good people.
They're such good people.
So
we had a wonderful dinner.
Yeah. Of course you did. Well, what did you order? Something different or the same? Because
I know how I am.
I have a hard time getting away from the lobster risotto.
You know what? Because of my taste bud thing, I got the steak, the hanger steak.
Ooh, that's good.
And it was just out of this world.
Sure.
I swear to God, like we had, we split a half order of the polenta. I had a half order of the steak. My husband had a half order of the, he's German. He always loves it when Ken has chicken or schnitzel on the menu. And then,
The Wiener Schnitzel!
Yes.
I feel like it.
That's veal schnitzel. So he's happy with chicken schnitzel.
Any schnitzel.
Any schnitzel.
Any sort of schnitzel.
Any schnitzel.
You know, I just like to say, Wiener Schnitzel!
Schnitzel grande, schnitzel pequeño.
You're learning your French.
Schnitzel nuevo.
Do that in Paris and see how far it goes.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
People in France hate Germans. I mean, they hate
Well, them. Then they hate Americans?
Yes.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was my experience. But that was a long time ago. That was my experience when I was there. Because German tourists have a very bad reputation. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bad tippers? Well, rude
and
interesting.
You know. Anyways, I don't want to be slanderous of a whole country. I just
Kim has a knack for every podcast alienating a certain percentage of the population. Her pie of people that are just like she just takes big swaths. She wipes out big swaths of
the evaluated part. Now we're getting a little smudge on it. He's starting to race it on the board now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's all right.
Yeah. Wait, can I tell you about Nicole's dessert?
Please do.
So Nicole Duckworth makes all the desserts at Duckworth, and it was a peppermint ice cream pie with a chocolate cookie crumb, a very thick chocolate cookie crumb crust with whipped cream, and then chocolate drizzled all over it. And it was a very sweet, you know, perfect for Valentine's Day.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Jimmy and Pat, what'd you guys do for Valentine's Day?
We went to Trio last night.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
It was. We didn't make plans early enough, so we went down to Trio, and we had a really nice dinner. They had a surf and turf special. That's what I got. And I really, really liked the stuffed shrimp. I hope they have that.
Do they still have the $3 anything on draft special going?
Yes.
It's such an outrageous deal.
$3
Guinness.
What
they have all these IPAs. Everything. They have like 12 beers on draft. Every one of them is $3, and it's not. And it's a pint glass.
Right. Okay.
I mean,
and
it's a nice bar. If you want to watch a game.
I've been to the bar there. It's a great bar.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. How much money?
I drink Guinness, so I like. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a Guinness guy too. This time of year.
What is a Guinness usually?
Anywhere in town is probably like the cheapest place other than there is probably $4.50, and then average is probably $6, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So that's really.
Oh, it's a tremendous.
Yeah, three for. I mean, for anything, even Budweiser or Bud Light's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you're a member at the Elks, right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Us Elks, right, Jimmy? Jimmy, is this how it goes? How's it go?
No.
How does it?
No,
oh, you can't
no.
do that.
No.
Okay.
What?
Someone at the
And how about you? What'd you do?
We didn't really do much. We had
no?
two young kids. No, we did some takeout.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
4 and 5.
Oh, yeah, you're in it.
Yeah.
You are
we're
in
the
it.
Thick of it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to grab some lobsters on my way out today, and
yeah.
then we'll have those tonight.
There you go.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I just got back. I got back from
you
Mexico
back.
The day
right.
before,
right.
but I had it all planned out. So I was the day before I left for Mexico.
You called the crow's nest. No, just joking.
No. We didn't do dinner. We're doing dinner tonight at. We're going to dinner tonight with Kylie Davis, Christo. I guess I wonder if she goes by Kylie Doe now. Now that they're married, I always think of her. Brenda Davis, her mother, is such a strong presence in my mind. She used to work here, so I always think of her as Kylie Davis, not her by her married name.
Yeah.
But Christo's a great guy, and Randy and Stephanie O'Neill. We're gonna go to. To a Feather and Wedge.
Oh,
good.
Your favorite.
And I'm very excited to go there. Well, it's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Duckworth, I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Duckworth, Franklin, Tono. In town here, Duckworth, Franklin, Tono. Who did I mean? Feather and Wedge.
That's kind
of my go-tos.
Your rotation.
My rotation,
yeah.
For sure. But yeah, but we're going to Paris in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And... So I did an Airbnb in Paris. I got this gorgeous place right next to the Louvre on the Seine.
Oh, nice.
And,
that sounds beautiful.
It sounds wonderful.
You see the pictures. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous. So through the Airbnb site, they have you can book experiences.
Right.
And they had and it's just like TripAdvisor and everything where they have reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So it's user kind of, you know, the cream rises,
right.
the ones with the best
mm-hmm.
reviews are the ones that they kind of put in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, like, there's this photography experience where they'll do a photo shoot in Paris,
mm-hmm.
and they bring you to, like, the
oh.
best locations,
oh.
and they'll do a photo shoot. So I bought a photo shoot for Kate
oh,
and I.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds so sweet.
Because we get married in a couple weeks,
yeah.
so.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
So I think that'll be really nice. You know, so, I want. Are you crying? Jimmy's crying. He had to bring his.
Yeah.
Jimmy had to take. He's all verklempt. I'm all verklempt.
What's the actual wedding day?
We haven't figured it out yet. We're doing a justice of the peace thing. We have a multi-part. We have a multi-part wedding thing. We're doing a JP. Then we're kind of going away on this great trip. Then we're gonna come back. We're going with the kids to Kate's where Kate works. Hard Rock. We're bringing them for April vacation, and we're gonna have a ceremony there. We're gonna come back. We're gonna have a party. So it's all this, and not the only thing that we really know is the April with the kids, because those flights are booked.
Right. Other than that, everything. Vegas, Hard Rock Vegas.
What's that?
You going to Hard Rock Vegas?
No. Kate works for the All Inclusive Collection that's down in Mexico.
Oh sure,
Punta
okay.
Punta
Cana. Yep.
Punta Cana and Cabo.
I saw Thomas the Train as at one of those.
Oh really?
That's Thomas the Train.
Oh there you go. Yeah. No, this one has. This one is. The one we're going to is Playa del Carmen, and they have a thing called Camp Woodward, which is like the size of Gloucester High School gymnasium of all. It's like an adventure park indoors for kids, where they have like the foam pit and like, you know, the high wire things.
Oh, wow.
And
so much fun.
Skate park indoors, skate park and all this stuff. And then they have a water park. Then they have zip lines.
Oh, nice.
Like the kids are just, their heads are going to.
Yeah.
Explode.
Explode,
just
wow.
Absolutely explode. Yeah. It's wow. In the pools.
That's great.
There's like 12 pools, water slides.
Wow.
And what's cool? So in the Hard Rock Riviera Maya where we're going, it's a huge property and it's set up. Half of it is for if you're under, I don't know if it's 16 or 18, you have to be in the children's section, mm-hmm. and then 18 or over. In the adult section, which is really nice for adults, because you can.
Right.
It's a great place. But if you're an adult without kids, you really don't want to be around kids.
Yeah.
I get that.
Right.
If you're with kids, the kids section is built for a no
super kid experience.
No way to fail vacation.
Nice.
So yeah, that's gonna be fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
We're excited about that. I'm psyched to go to Feather and Wedge tonight. And
what's one of your favorite things to have there?
You know, I go there with a open mind, because the chef there, usually I get fish, because he cooks, to me, he cooks fish
so
just
perfectly.
So perfectly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I usually get the charcuterie, they have a charcuterie tray. I do get that every time, just about. But we usually don't go with other couples, so we're going with other couples, and we'll we'll mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that way then you can see what other people order.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
But getting back from Playa del Carmen was, so here's my, I'll give a little thing about Playa del Carmen. People, there's been this thing about Mexico is not safe, because there's a murder like every 6 months that gets wildly publicized.
Right.
And
it's sad,
but it's if you went to Playa del Carmen, so the way Playa del Carmen is set up, there's, it's called Fifth Avenue, and it runs, it's a block from the beach, and the beach is all resorts on the beach. Then there's Fifth Avenue, which is all outdoor cafes, restaurants, shops, and I mean high end, everything from high end restaurants to street tacos on this one strip, mostly bars, scenes, and stuff like that. And then, you know, as you go, each block further back, it gets more and more rustic. And you could say, there's less wealth at the further you... Miami Beach is the same exact way. If you go to South Beach, Miami,
right.
There is no difference at all. As a matter of fact, I feel way safer walking down Fifth Avenue in Playa del Carmen than I do in the city of Boston.
Right.
City of Boston. Anywhere in Boston. I would walk down Fifth Avenue at 2 o'clock in the morning, way before I would walk anywhere in the city of Boston. Anywhere.
Really?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. And the food options, it's like there are. Did you see any of the pictures that I posted?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I want that chimichanga.
Yeah.
The chimichanga was probably the least interesting thing that I ate compared to the octopus, the braised, and all the ceviche and the way that we went. There's every type of food from all over the world, and these chefs are just coming there and opening restaurants, and they're vibrant, beautiful spaces with the decor rivals anything around here.
Yeah.
But people there are small-minded people that have it in there, that are taking the bait that Mexico is not safe. Mexico City, probably not safe.
Right.
Or can be safe if you're smart.
If you're
but
smart.
In relation to these resort towns, their whole economy is based on tourism.
Right.
They're not
going to
bite their hand off
to
spite their nose off to spite their face.
Right.
So anyway, it is Playa del Carmen is an incredible value that I would recommend to anyone. Okay.
Okay.
I've said.
Good.
I punished my liver for a week straight and my stomach. I'm on a diet with Kate right now. We're doing this paleo thing and we feel good. So I'm happy to be back and don't hesitate to travel. I hate, just don't be so small-minded. People that won't go out of the country, I just feel like, come on, like just get with it. Anyway. That's my mini rant, I guess.
As I mentioned, I'm going to Mexico. We're going to a pretty remote place, but you know, the one thing that
it's not a city though. You're going to more of a village than
a
city,
village.
Right?
And the thing that I don't want to do is drive, because we're getting there late in the afternoon, and I don't want to be It's like a 3-hour drive or 4-hour drive. I don't want to be driving through rural, villages.
Yeah.
I paid for a driver to come and pick us up from the hotel and take us right to the hotel, and then the same going back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was $200 each way, but I just think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because
there you go.
We're not going to need a car when we're there. We're going to be riding horses and things like that. So,
nice.
I think that was the one thing that I was a little concerned about.
Yeah.
Not driving
to the country.
Yeah. Driving in the countryside.
That's fair.
When you're not familiar with the territory.
What was that?
When you're not
familiar.
Right.
Or barely speak more than, un coche grande.
Right.
Coche grande?
The car is big.
We're going to Lane School.
Lane School? The other side of the island.
I have the utmost faith that
we've been practicing the language tape.
I've been scouting it and watching it and going at different times. And I believe that's a safe place.
I get
Lane's cold.
Well, there you go.
You can come with us, Joe, if you like.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll be good.
Brandon Pratt is with us, and Brandon is a mortgage guy. And they have a place down on Main Street where the Magic Scarf used to be?
That's right. Yep.
Where the Magic Scarf, basically across from...
Police station.
If you're at the police station where the Lobster Trap Tree was, looking across the street, you can't miss this spot.
Okay. Right on the corner.
Right on the corner there.
Yep.
That's a nice spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I was interested. So you wrote a post yesterday about mortgage rates have been dropping.
They have.
And I read it, and you also elaborated that the Fed was talking about being less hawkish.
Yeah. So the Fed raised rates 4 times last year in 2018. Which made the overall lending more expensive for everybody, from car loans to credit cards, et cetera. And the economy was humming along very fine, but we started seeing some cracks at the end of 2018. The president came out and said that maybe they shouldn't be as aggressive with the rate hikes.
Which the president normally doesn't.
Should not interfere
with interest rates.
Generally, the practice is they don't talk about the Fed and their actions like that. While that may be controversial, I think his message was correct, because when you come out of a recession, the economy's been fragile, the housing market's just starting to recover. You don't want to increase things so fast that you stop that, and that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The housing market start in the fall really slowed down quite a bit, and that was because of the higher home prices and the higher interest rates. People who I talk to who are pre-approved for $400,000 with a certain mortgage payment. Well, now that payment is $100, $150 more a month, and it doesn't fit their budget, so they step back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's just, it's, you know, if you look at it.
It's a fine line.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it people, you're trying to fit into these ratios, right?
Correct, yes.
And if it just bounces X amount of buyers out of those ratios, you have that much less competition for these houses, and then, you know.
So we saw houses sitting on the market for a while that we hadn't seen. Everything was a competitive bid situation. Now it was houses were sitting on the market, prices were dropping because they needed to get back within people's budgets where they were anticipating on buying.
That was the way it had been for years, though. I mean, you know, the whole competitive bid thing was I think the Fed did take the right steps just to
they did
to right right
absolutely I agree yeah. I agree yeah.
you
and,
don't you know, want run away no what you don't want is runaway inflation
right. that's right yeah right. you got
there's
got to
be balance
check,
yeah
but we can't go so crazy it was
absolutely.
Too aggressive
right
so they stepped back a little bit. There's been some other issues with the economy like the tariffs and the trade and then obviously GM was shutting plants so there's clinks in the armor. Caterpillar, I think, was down 7-8% mm-hmm. last year, and that usually reflects the overall world economy because it's based on construction. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of signs that the economy worldwide is slowing down. So even while the United States economy is doing well, we have low unemployment, etc., there's some other things that weren't just jiving. So my message now is, as we start the official spring market the day after Valentine's Day, we are now in the official home buying spring market. I want to let people know that, hey, if you were discouraged in the fall with the higher rates and you step back, come back to me because they've dropped and they're probably back in where you thought they were
or want them to be. Yeah.
And I also have free money, which I'm trying to scream from the mountaintops. Mass Housing will give people a down payment up to $12,000 to buy a house if they have certain income limits and credit scores and such. Mm-hmm. So I can give them money for a down payment. The rates are dropping. And the prices are a little bit lower than they've been, but now that we get into that spring home buying market, we were seeing a lot more people re-enter. So if people are on the sidelines, it's time to reevaluate, get your plan in place for the spring and see what we can do to help.
When you say rates are dropping, what?
So we're in the low fives at one point.
What do you call rates are dropping?
Well, dropping, you know, just being 0.25% less than they were. Okay. So some people who purchased in the fall got a rate 5.25%. Now today we're 4.75, so we've almost dropped 0.5%.
Yeah.
Whereas that's where they went up in the fall.
Right.
They went up that half
right.
point. Mm. Now we've come back down, and as long as the stock market, you know, has these days of bad news, that means that's good for interest rates.
Right.
Interest rates thrive on an economy that has some clinks in the armor, because there's a safety to the mortgage bonds or the government bonds because they're safe, and the money will come out of the stock market. And that will drive down mortgage rates.
Yeah, more supply of money.
Yes.
Yeah. To so there's less demand. Yeah.
It's a flight to safety.
Flight to safety. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. So are there certain sections of the housing market that you feel are stronger than others right now?
Anything that's under 400,000 is moving. So because that price point, you can get the mortgage payment equivalent to rent. People are getting sick of paying for rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want to do it. And if they can find a house that has a payment comparable to rent, they're going to do
sense.
It.
Right.
And then with combination with a mass housing loan, where you can get on a $400,000 loan, you can actually get the down payment through mass housing, that can end up being cheaper than doing first, last, and security. You could actually buy a house cheaper than renting right now.
So when you say the mass housing, when you say they're giving the money away for the down payment, it's a loan, though, right?
It is a loan. They're not giving it away. I'm giving the access to the
$12,000.
It comes in the form of a second mortgage.
Okay.
The interest rate is 1%.
Oh, wow.
It's 1%.
Okay. So it's pretty much free money.
Yeah,
right.
It's a 15-year loan that you pay each month, and it's usually about on $12,000, don't quote me, between $50 and $60 a month. And then after 15 years, I believe that you have paid it off. If you refinance or sell the house, that would be doable when you did that as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you refinance and cash out, you would also have to pay it back.
I'm just thinking of my son because he's got a really good savings, but that would also, you know.
Oh, he would qualify.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he would qualify.
One of the conversations I have with people, they're like, well, I have $20,000 and, you know, I can do this. I'm like, well, if you use that $20,000 to do you're left with nothing.
You're left with, right.
And you're moving into a house with nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not fair to people. You want to make sure in case the hot water heater breaks or something
right.
breaks,
a little
you have
cushion.
Something.
Right, a little
so
cushion.
This can actually allow people to have a cushion.
Yeah.
And $10,000 equals $50 a month. So
yeah.
I tell people, like, oh, I want to throw an extra $10,000 down on my down payment. And I'm like, well, that's going to leave you like $3,000 left over.
Right.
And they're like, well, I want to try to keep my payment down. I go, well, it only knocks it down $50. Would you rather have $10,000 in your bank account or pay $50 a month?
Right.
And the answer is usually like, yeah, I'd rather keep that little $10,000
yeah.
and pay $50
yeah.
a month.
Not sweating things.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, what I tell people, instead of doing a larger down payment, pay $100 or $200 extra a month from that $10,000 savings and peel down your balance faster.
Yeah.
Put it
then
directly on
less
principal.
Interest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're building equity faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to pay off your loan faster because every mortgage is a maximum term. So just because it's 30 years doesn't mean it will be 30 years. You can pay it in 20,
right.
15.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no prepayment penalties.
Right.
So pay back, pay extra.
Some of the best things I've ever done is the automatic. When I was younger, I would make double payments and make sure you have to get, when you pay extra, right, here's something for someone that may or may not know. Do you, what mechanism is there to make sure that they know that the extra that you're paying is going towards principal as opposed to
if you interest. Make online payments, it's clear you're checking a box, extra principal.
Ah, there you go.
It's simple. If you mail in your payment with check, you really need to be specific because machines read the checks. So if you're not clear or you're not bringing in that coupon saying I want the $200 to go towards principal, they'll actually apply it, they'll put in suspense to the next payment. They could apply it to escrows.
Yeah.
They can apply it to late fees if there are any. And it can just sit in limbo and not do anything, which is the whole objective is to pay extra because your mortgage payment, even though it's static, it doesn't change each month.
Mm-hmm.
What goes towards principal and interest changes every month. And it's based on your balance.
It goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes up and down like a ladder. So if your balance gets paid faster, you'll have less interest each month. So you don't want that $200 sitting in limbo because
right.
it defeats the whole purpose of you paying
right.
it to begin with.
Right. Right.
So if mail checks, be super specific and check your statements to make sure that money went where you wanted it. But if you pay online, it's very simple. You check the box. And also if you do automatic monthly deductions from your checking account, you can set it up to pay extra principal every month as well.
Yeah, it's a good way to.
It's
really.
Fat. It really.
It, you know, if you do things like that, it may not seem it like in the first 6 months, but like, you know how fast years go by? You know, like you blink and your kids are tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you do things like this and you're like, oh my God, you know.
What
and it's almost, it's like
so
painless.
Glad.
Like, oh, I went out
so
for dinner like once or twice less
right.
You know, a month. And,
right.
But that, like. The compounding of that automatic withdrawals and stuff without you thinking about it, it makes huge. Like I did, was it 529 plans for the college
things,
things
yeah.
for both of my daughters.
Yeah.
Started out when they were zero till they were 10, X amount every month. There's a large amount of money for their college,
right.
and it was painless
yeah.
because I wasn't
right.
thinking
just
about
it.
You never
just
see
it,
yeah.
yeah.
You know, when you don't see it, you don't think
right.
about
you
it.
Don't
it's just so that your company they offer the so you can
yeah,
do,
we have
do all the stuff
of,
online
yeah.
and stuff like that.
We have online applications. When we do mortgages, we originate it, we close it in our name, and then we usually transfer it to a larger institution where we get our money from. So if Mass Housing is the loan that we put you in. Your loan will go to Mass Housing, and they'll start taking the payments. They're located in Boston. If you get an FHA loan or a government a VA loan from us, you'd probably go to Wells Fargo or Chase or one of the larger institutions, again, which all have the online payment options. Cross Country also holds on to mortgages. We'll service mortgages, so there's a good chance that Cross Country will also take your payments. It just we try to find the best rate product that fits that client.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's Chase, Cross Country, Mass Housing, whatever it is, we try to find that mortgage product. That's all we do is mortgages. So we have to have the largest suite available.
Right, right.
So what's the name of your company again?
Cross Country Mortgage.
Cross Country Mortgage.
Yep, right on 180 Main Street. Yep.
Yeah, and available to talk. It doesn't cost anything to talk to them.
Yeah, it's always free to come in and talk, and we look at budgets. You know, you were talking about debt ratios earlier. We can talk about, you know, consolidating credit cards. I helped someone the other day. They were paying 23% on their Discover card. It's like, I can't pay it off in time. I'm like, did you call them, ask them to reduce the rate? I go, tell them you want to pay it off. Call them up, say, I want to pay this off. She called them up. They gave her an interest rate. Below 10%, put it that way. I think it was 7 or 9%. And she's like, oh, my God, they're giving me a temporary relief. I'm going to pay this off in the 6 months.
Nice.
And that was free advice I was able to give her. She just made a simple phone call.
Yeah.
What people don't know, I can help with. I can tell them, because I've been doing this for 20 years. I know all the little tricks.
Yeah,
if your credit score is not high enough.
You might not think about.
There's easy ways to get credit scores up in certain cases, that, and it's really fast. In some cases, I can get your credit score up 50 points in 7 days, free, as long as you get a mortgage with me.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things that we can do to save people money beyond the mortgage. Because as a mortgage loan originator, I'm licensed, and I have to look at people's overall financial picture.
Mm-hmm.
I have to under law. Mm-hmm. And so if some people have debt-to-income ratios too high, we have to get those ratios down.
Down.
That's my job, to figure out how
we're going
to
get it. There's a fiduciary responsibility to do that.
I get my license renewed every year. The FBI does a background check on me. They pull my credit. They'd make sure I pay all my bills, and then the state approves me every year. And I'm also licensed in New Hampshire as well.
There you go. So tell your son, give him a call.
Yeah,
that's hopeful spring news. Good.
Yeah, so it's good. Yeah, the phones are starting to ring again. You know, we haven't had much snow. That's always a sign when the spring market's going to take off.
Mm-hmm.
It started last year, and then we had March.
And then we had March.
So actually, the spring market started off hot and died, and then kicked off really aggressive in May.
Okay.
Which is unusual. And I had some of my busier months in August, when usually it's vacation time.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's usually crickets in August, because everybody's getting back ready for back to school and the summer vacations and all that. So
there you go. Well, thank you for that update, man. We'd like to have you back like once a month at least.
I mean, my pleasure.
You know, give us the updates.
Yeah, and I'll always do
talk
a different
about
topic.
Talk about the changes and stuff like that. The trends.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Jimmy is off the hook.
Jimmy, shoo!
Yeah,
big relief.
So it's been Jimmy. If you haven't been following along, Jimmy bought Jimmy and Pat, or just Jimmy. Who's responsible for this? Oh, it's Pat. He's been taking all the heat for you. That is a nice man to take all that heat for you all this time. He is your Valentine.
Well, I guess that's appropriate. It's okay now.
So, so Pat,
what is that?
That's the Chiefs AFC Championship.
It's so, a winning touchdown in the game against.
So, Kim,
the
I'm going to explain something to you.
Okay.
You're probably this might go over your head, but we're gonna try. I'm gonna try not to mansplain this,
okay.
But I'm gonna try to just put it into layman's terms.
I'm all ears here.
As a New England sports fan. We won the Patriots won a big game to get to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game.
Okay, is that what that's a picture of?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Jimmy and Pat, native New Yorkers, not having tasted success for many decades, thought it would be, at first we didn't know if it was a gesture of kindness. Or if it was to put the monster jinx on us.
A jinx? That looks like a jinx
that
to me.
They bought the Boston Globe newspaper poster of the AFC Championship headlines the day after the AFC Championship.
Oh.
We don't know if they understand that here in New England, the city of champions, we don't celebrate AFC championships.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate Super Bowls, World Series, world titles. That's what we celebrate here. So he brought this to me.
Yeah, that looks like even me, like I would say that's a super jinx.
Right,
oh,
you would say that's a super jinx, right?
I am. I'm hurt.
No,
so he brought it to me, and I didn't even want.
And you could even have done it unwitting. I mean, I think it's an unwitting super jinx.
Well, that's a right. That's
it,
that.
Wasn't,
the, so the,
right,
it was. We didn't really know at the time. So he presented it to me. Pat bought it. Jimmy Brooke presented it to me at the Elks, and and everybody at the Elks agreed this is really bad karma. This is bad juju. And
put a sheet over it.
And they were on the hot seat. They were on the hot seat.
We
so
wait until the end of that game.
What we ended up deciding was the best course of action was it was either to put it in a closet. Or put it in the bathroom, the porta potty outside.
Right,
face backwards. Until the result of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But what we came down to, because it's bad weather out, We've had it face down in the corner of the office, untouched, for 3 weeks.
Good.
After
good
the plan. I just got back from
now
vacation.
It's the front seeing the light
so
of
now
day.
It's, now it has finally seen the light of day, and we're going to hang it. Kim will take a picture. We'll hang it, and Jimmy will take
we
a picture.
Hang it?
We're going to find a spot right next to where we have our, you know, the wall of the, the our wall of balloons.
The a-hole wall.
The Alex Rodriguez steroid scandal wall with,
You know, all I thought when I saw that was, oh, that's such a good memory. That'll be such a good memory.
Okay, well.
That's what I was thinking.
Well.
But as Boston fans, see, in New York, winning the AFC Championship, you guys would still be celebrating 3 weeks later.
Yes.
But to us, everyone in the thing would be like, oh, the wheels have fallen off. Right?
Look, you know, I was telling you, as a Jet fan, we celebrate coming out. Yet you notice the celebration as they're running out on the field because nobody fell and got hurt. So they actually made it on the field. So that's why we celebrate, because we never end the game that way. Or people leave, like in Buffalo, the guy leaves at halftime saying, hey guys, listen, I'm not going out in the second half. You know, that was the Buffalo guy. So I went, I thought it was a celebration.
It's a
great picture.
It was a great win.
It
was a great, great win. I mean, that was
absolutely
winning at Kansas City. I mean, that was
absolutely.
I was scared about that game.
Absolutely was.
I'm glad.
So now you know that people in this are so superstitious. They wear certain clothes year after year.
Well, we sat in the same seats for the Super Bowl that we wore. We sat in to watch the AFC Championship. Everybody wore the same clothes that they wore for the AFC Championship.
I think you and everybody else
sweatshirt.
In New England. Right?
We try to explain this to our New York friends, and they don't get it.
They haven't been there.
We try to say, oh, you don't understand, and still we make this mistake, and
they don't get it.
If it wasn't for the Bruins, I was hoping all four teams could do a clean sweep this year.
Oh, boy.
But.
Now that could be a jinx. You better not go on the way.
Yeah, 2 out of 4, we'll take that no matter what. There's no jinx there.
So we will be hanging this part of the podcast thing. Kim will take a picture of Jimmy hanging it up on the sports wall. All right?
Complete with staple gun. I've got to watch myself with a staple gun.
Pat and Jimmy, you went to Northern Lights Farm Stand in Ipswich. I've never heard of this one.
I know. We were drawn in. There's a sign out front. We drive by there a lot. It's on Route 133 in Ipswich, and there's a sign out front that says homemade pies, and we've been wanting to stop there. And so yesterday we stopped, and it's a farm stand open all year round, which I did not.
Wow.
I should have realized in the middle of February, but it was a farm stand. I guess I thought I was going to walk into like a bakery or something, but. It's a farm stand. It was my eyes. There was orange carrots and red tomatoes, and the color was.
Where on 133?
In Ipswich, just near
The DQ.
No, just near the clam box.
Oh, all right. Close to Raleigh.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have quite a few things from local vendors. They have
it's on the right, right?
Correct.
Like if
as you're going out.
As you're going up towards it.
Yes.
It's relatively new. The building is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
When you walk in, you can smell the wood.
Yeah, well,
they had Virgilio's there. They had local artists. They had
there's some
jelly.
So tell us about the pies.
Oh, it was so good. We decided we got 2 small ones so that we could have 2 different flavors.
Right, you could have sample.
And we got strawberry rhubarb, which we had when we got home last night. It was very good. I haven't tried the cherry yet, but were the two that they have small ones and larger ones.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just a good stop.
How was the crust?
It was good.
Good. It was good.
It was not soggy. It was
great.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Very very nice take. I wasn't expecting that when I walked in. They had quite a variety, and
I love that.
That's good to know. I live in Topsfield, so that's not far from
there. You go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go to Marini Farms, but they shut down for the winter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
Yeah.
And
it was easy in, easy out.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I have a post going up about that on Monday. I promised the guy we'd do it on Monday, and it's just such a treat for the eyes to walk in there and see that.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice.
Nice that it's year round.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And more than just pies.
And more than just pies.
Right.
So Pigeon Cove Ferments, our friends Dylan and Kristen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had I just saw a post that they did on Instagram, which I thought was pretty interesting. Speaking of, you know, farming and this kind of thing, they did 12 days of fermentation on black garlic, and they say it's so sweet. And they're testing it out, and they wanted to know if people would be interested in buying this type of thing at farmers markets this summer.
That's
black garlic fermented. What do you think that would taste like? Is it that sweet?
It was sweet, and then you could probably make like a spread with it. You know what I mean? Like put a crostini or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Well.
Or you know, like put a little, you know, kind of like soft cheese on a crostini, and then put the black garlic on top of that. I don't know, maybe or put it on burgers or something like that.
Yeah, burgers. I would think. But they're doing some interesting. They're growing. Their business has been growing.
We should have them in again.
Well, I think like. I talked to him about that. He says once things get going,
right,
for the season, for sure they want to do
it. The sauerkraut guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have Tucker and Elise back too once this.
We're definitely going to have all of our friends, all of our farm friends are coming in.
Nice.
I just wanted to do a shout out to them. You also
attended a fireside chat at the Beauport Hotel.
When did they start doing this?
Well, this was the second in a series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember hearing about the first one. Might be the topic wasn't as intriguing as this one to me, which was a woman named Lee Spreen talking about the history of slave trade.
You know,
and Gloucester's ties.
I think we've had Lee's on the show.
She's been on. Yeah, she helped you with the cleanup down at the waterfront where I-4C2 was.
Yes, she was awesome. She was one of our Harbor Walk volunteers, and she was tremendous.
Mm.
It was very interesting. They had it on a Monday night.
She's writing a book about that, right? Is that right?
She didn't mention that, but I'm going to assume so because she had a tremendous amount of research that she had done. There are three more coming up.
Prudence Fish, Antique Gloucester Homes.
Correct.
Ales and Tales. What's Ales and Tales?
It tied in with Massachusetts Beer Week.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
There you go. Is Ales and Tales, is that part of, I wonder if that's part of Fish Tales or not?
I don't think so. I didn't get that idea.
Something different?
I'm not sure.
And then Andrea Bodner from GM, Good Morning Gloucester Institute will be there.
Yes, she will. But it was...
I have to correct it.
They have it out in the lobby in front of the fireplace. It's very relaxed seating.
Nice.
It was a nice little take. It was...
I met Catherine Ryan and her husband there one night after her Kay Van Reeds event at the museum open, and it was so lovely. It was just so
beautiful room.
It's just a beautiful room.
It is.
So relaxing, just to sit and chat like that.
Yeah.
It was just
so.
And what's really nice is
having a nice time. It was really
What's really nice is that, you know, using these spaces that in the summertime is, you know, we have so much going on here that, you know, you don't, but in the winter to use these beautiful spaces and get people out of their houses and have something to do.
And the hotel is sponsoring it. So they provided some light refreshments.
You email in for
a seat so that they can make sure people will be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to attend another one. I thought it was very... And the topic was so interesting.
I bet you would love the antique house one.
I did fireside chats over at the Crow's Nest.
There
was many interesting
topics
going on then. And I believe the fire was lit.
It was probably
lottery tickets that weren't winners.
Probably Gloucester history, but from a different angle, I guess.
One area, you all went there. So I was doing that while she was doing her fireside chat, and we both had good times.
Can't go wrong either spot. I'll tell you right now, you cannot go wrong.
We both came home with stories, and but I don't think I'll be writing an article about ours, but hers is going to be really good.
Pat, did you post? So you emailed me that you're going to do, much like you did the oyster chart.
It went up today.
8 o'clock this morning. It went up.
Yep.
So she's doing a prime rib chart.
Oh, very awesome.
I saw that.
Which,
yeah.
Oh, you saw it already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So each, so she'll have where each place in around town is doing their prime rib specials.
And it's quite possible we miss people. I'm sure we did miss people.
Of course.
So please let
us
know.
If you have a prime rib special around town, write in.
It's a weekly special.
We'll add it
like
to the,
part of the regular menu or anything.
Yeah.
That's how I did it.
Right. It can't be, it's not just on your menu.
Right.
It has to be a
right.
weekly special
okay.
of value.
Of type
of thing.
Yeah.
And did you try all these prime ribs?
No, not yet, but
oh, baby.
I do like prime rib, but I can't, you know, I don't eat it too often, but yeah.
Yeah, so the rum line, Seaport, the Beauport, Mile Marker, Topside,
yep.
Boathouse, and Village.
Mm, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some, but
I'm sure
that's the fun
yeah.
part is as they roll in and we add
yeah.
it to the chart and stuff like
yeah.
that. Oh, so do you have a.
Oh, you did a weekly. I'm just reading what you posted.
Right. So give me the rundown on what
so,
day is what.
So Friday looks like the Mile Marker,
uh-huh.
Boathouse, and Village. I can't tell. And then Saturday is Topside and Boathouse. Sunday is the Beauport. Monday, Seaport. And Tuesday, Rumline.
Hmm.
And Wednesday and Thursday, you're out of prime rib.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Those aren't big
there's open
nights.
Slots. So
yeah.
See,
yeah.
there's
yeah. Wednesday,
there's
Saturday,
slots.
You need a prime rib.
There's opportunities.
Yeah. yeah.
Opportunities.
They each have little, you know, some of them are after a certain time or
yeah.
some of them are.
I
so
imagine they're all
check
dinner
those
time.
Things.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Some
yeah.
of them are a certain cut and, you know.
Well, the Beauport is for two.
Oh.
So prime rib for two. So that was kind of a nice, interesting.
I can eat prime rib, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we'll have to check into that. Adventure Man, our buddy.
Oh, yes, Jamie.
Jamie McDonald. If you haven't been following this yet. You have to get on board with this guy.
Yeah, you do.
He's very, it's very entertaining. It's addicting.
It is.
Like,
crazy.
I wake up in the morning, one of my first clicks is to find out what his adventure was the day before. If you don't know what we're talking about, this guy from Gloucester, England, is doing a trek around the perimeter of the United States, really from the top, the northwest to the northeast, all of the perimeter down along Texas, and now he is... has made it to Virginia. And is it 27 marathons to go to get to Gloucester? And he's going to, he changed
it's
his thing.
Goal, yes, it's his goal to run at least the distance of a marathon a day. Often he does more. But the other day he did.
He did a double marathon.
Yeah, the other day.
I know, is that insane?
To get into Virginia, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so he's running at least 26.2 miles. Every single day.
But the cool part about it is, so he's there, he has picked up this tremendous following, this internet following, and he's accepting donations, and the donations are going to United States Children Hospital to help sick United States
children.
Yeah.
And so if you watch his videos that are posted on Facebook, and I try to get them each time and put them on the blog. That he has these wonderful interactions with local people.
It's genuine.
And
it's
genuine.
Very genuine.
People are coming out to give him food, to, you know, interview him, to highlight his cause.
It's very spontaneous. He hasn't really planned out stops or...
And then how? Where does he sleep at night?
Wherever
he
finds a place when he gets
there.
People have been stepping up.
Sometimes it's a hotel room that somebody's provided for him, or often it's in people's homes.
Yeah.
That's really so sweet. Wow.
Yeah. And he had originally intended to end his journey in Maine, the northeast corner of the United States, but has since decided to end it here in Gloucester. And he has recently announced the date. The target date is March 27th.
Okay.
That he will arrive in Gloucester.
Put that on our calendar.
And he's from Gloucester, so he thought that that was an appropriate...
Gloucester, England.
Yeah. So he thought that was an appropriate way to end the run. And he has a plan to go into Boston, apparently, and visit... I'm not sure which children's hospital,
mm-hmm.
but a children's hospital.
Well, that's
wonderful. We're hoping to get him on the podcast here.
Yeah.
Right. He also said, basically, he wants to put his toes in the water.
He put his hand in the water when he left.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wants to put his. We're expecting he'll want to put his hand in the water, or his feet
right.
in the water, when he arrives. So
okay.
That's why I kind of suggested to him, man at the wheel,
Yeah.
And they go right over there.
That would be a classic.
There's some other suggestions people have come up with, and I'm sure it's going to be worked out. But
he's going to have family and friends coming to greet him here.
I imagine for the amount of people that follow him, my guess is that last minimum 10 miles, there is going to be a tremendous amount of people that are going to join him coming into Gloucester. And Pat reached out to Safathia saying, hey, check this guy out. And Safathia gave us the lead.
Yes.
She was already on it.
Yeah.
So we should give her credit to turning us on to this guy. And she is really going to step up and make a big to-do about this. I think it's going to be huge.
Tremendous.
And I think he's going to come on the podcast. Hopefully he comes
on
the podcast.
Yeah. He's planning to stay a few days from what I understand. So that's great news.
I hope he stays more than a few days. You know what I mean?
His visa's scheduled to run out in early April, apparently. Now, I don't know what kind of visa. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. Hmm. So it won't... probably won't be more than a few days.
But if nothing else, I'm providing the link in the show notes. Just check out his Facebook page and click on a couple of his videos. Mm-hmm. If you see one of his videos, my guess is you'll follow him and be so intrigued and caught up in where he is and his little adventures.
He's doing this alone, too. He's not running with a pack of people or a lead car or anything like that. He gets lost out in the woods.
Yeah, if he takes over. So, the other day, he came up to this detour.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I go that way and it takes me off course, it's really gonna fuck me up bad. He didn't say fuck me up, but it's gonna screw me up really bad. I could go that, I can, because sometimes these detours are road detours that you can really just get around, but it's like the road is not, is kind of like they're doing work.
A pedestrian can get through, but a car cannot.
Right. So I was like, oh, is this gonna take me, 10 miles out of my way, and that's big,
especially in a rural area. It could be huge.
So some guy in his car came upon him, so this couple, if I'm not mistaken, and they went and they left him and went and checked it out to see if it was going to be safe for him to run through there, which it they decided it was, so he did, and it saved himself the extra miles. But it's those kinds of encounters. There's always...
Right. There's some people coming by, and the police are like, this crazy guy's running down the street with a cape, what the hell's going on? And he'll videotape the interaction, and he'll explain, I'm doing this for children and stuff. And a lot of his fans will, so there's a live tracker as well.
Okay.
So you can see exactly where he is, and a lot of his fans will be on the road, like hand him a Gatorade or some cheeseburger. He needs food. He needs sustenance.
He needs real food, running 26 miles a day.
So and at the end of the day, he just looks like the devil. I mean, the other day, he just looked...
scraggly. Wiped out.
Yeah. Nobody would take him in. It's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing story. And he's ending here in Gloucester.
Yes.
Which is so super cool.
Right, which is why we're... onto it. But it's interesting. Check out his videos. That's all I'm going to say. Check out his videos. Cape Ann Wildlife. We finally got to Kim.
Yes, there we go.
Because we know she has we know she has big time fans out there.
Yes, absolutely.
That are very interested in wildlife. And we're going to talk about the Cape Ann. There's a lot that happened while I was in Mexico. Believe it or not, I do check in on the blog occasionally when I'm away. But I saw that there was interesting thing with the buzzard.
Right. It's Hector.
Vulture. Not a buzzard.
Well, it's all right. Because people, in old days called them black buzzards or carrion crows. So he's a black vulture. And they're typically more southern species. And they have been working their way further and further north. But I think this is the first time we've had one staying around all winter like this. And he actually showed up sometime in December. And he had been hanging out at the Rockport dump, and he was super friendly with the nice guys that work at the dump, and they were feeding him, and you can get
vulture, who
knew? Like 5 feet away from him, and, he's very sociable. He's a very sociable
person. Well, the person yesterday was feeding him tuna fish.
Yeah, he loves meat, so if you throw a sub towards him, a friend of mine gives him leftover subs, he'll pick around the tomatoes and the lettuce, and he'll go for the meat. So he's a meat eater. But
so don't leave your children outside because they'll pick their eyeballs out.
Well, he also has been eyeing the neighbor's
cat,
dog. Sickly tiny little dog. So they people.
Good night, Irene.
People are saying things like, "Oh, they just eat. You know, they just scavenge." Well, they do scavenge, but they also do eat little livestock and chickens and things like that.
So he's looking at that dog like, "Oh, it's like venison."
Out of the corner of his eye.
I wouldn't leave my small pets or chickens around.
Fair warning from Kim Smith. All right, there's the number two. Value added right there.
Well, one thing that's very cool, though, I was reading is that black vultures mate for life. So maybe we'll have a Hector and maybe a Hyacinth will come along and we'll have a, you know.
Hyacinth? A Hyacinth is a female black buzzard?
It's just a woman's name. It could be Heidi. We could have a Heidi right now and maybe a Hector will come along.
Right,
we
right.
don't
know. So I noticed the pictures that they posted was from up on the hill here.
Yes.
Looking down at
I'm surprised you haven't seen him down here at the dog.
I've been gone for 2 weeks.
You've been gone. So just keep an eye out for him because he's up there on Hammond Street. He loves East Gloucester right now. And this is part of his
routine.
We and then over by the dump and then also by the bank over in Rockport, that's another little hangout for him. So
interesting.
He's loving East Gloucester. And we're calling him a he, but we don't know if he's a he or she. But he's very interesting. Oh, and he barks.
Really?
Yes. He goes, and one of the super nice guy that's been feeding him barks at him and he barks back.
Oh my goodness.
So he goes like this. He goes, ruff, ruff. And so he'll go ruff to him and he'll bark back. So, it's just like our puppy used to do, just a little tiny little.
There you go.
Huh.
The other part that was cool is the 6 calves that last year there was 1 calf, whale calf.
Right, last year there were 0 right whale calves. This year, and this is the Atlantic Coast population that's in super trouble. There's only like 411 right whales left.
And 6 were born.
And 6 were born this year. It's not near the number. They like it to be like around 20 to help.
Well, imagine if next year is 12 and the next year is 24.
Yeah. Right. So,
that'd be nice.
Yeah. So.
So, in the area where they were born was down south of the Cape.
Yeah. No, they're born down by Florida, but they're starting and down in the Caribbean, and then they're starting their northward migration now.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, like when a couple of years ago when we had that huge, huge numbers in Provincetown. So Tom and I went out to Provincetown. You could just stand at Race Point and watch it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then we'll also hopefully be able to perhaps see them on the Cape Ann Chambers winter birding excursion because they migrate through Stellwagen Bank and so hopefully we'll see.
Do they have trackers on them?
Why don't they nail these things with
trackers?
You know what?
It's not like it's going to impede them. Wouldn't it be so cool to like have whale trackers?
Yes, it would.
If you were a whale person, right?
Right.
I'm not necessarily like this crazy whale person. There are definitely crazy whale people out there, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you wanted to raise awareness about whales.
If you tag
these things with like pingers and they could like follow them around online and have the shark apps.
Well,
you could check out where the sharks are pinging all over the place.
You know,
wouldn't that be cool?
That would be. I don't imagine. I mean, I would imagine they have done that. But the thing about whales, though, is because of the distinct markings on the back of them, they can
easily track them that way.
Yeah, they're very easy to track. They all have. There's biologists give them all names and things like that. So even like the people at Seven Seas, they know which whales they're seeing by the distinct marks on their back and stuff. So. It would be interesting, wouldn't it, if they were trapped?
I mean, I think if you wanted to raise awareness, it would be something that, with today's technology, isn't some costly thing to do.
Yeah. Like the trackers that they have on snowy owls right now.
Yeah.
So the birding trip is...
Oh, wait, back.
Back it up.
You're telling me that there are trackers that the public, there are apps that people can check out?
Yeah, Project Snowstorm.
Hello.
Yes, there's definitely. So even one that was released at Salisbury Beach last year, I kind of lost track of him. He was a beautiful white male, and he was released by that guy from Mass Audubon. What's his name, Norm? Is it Norm Smith?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. He was released at Salisbury Beach,
mm-hmm.
and he had a tracker on. But I don't know what happened. I don't follow them all. It's more of a the folks who are tracking they're out in the Midwest. So which page are you on right now?
Project Snowstorm.
Project Snowstorm.
Yeah.
So do you see? Are they? Because there's a little.
I'm looking for the tracker.
If you go on they have maps.
Innovations
stuff.
Maybe. Nature Tech, SNAP, Science Impact Project.
They have a map there with all the different routes because it's so interesting because I've looked at those maps sometimes and they don't fly directly. You know, when they're migrating northward and southward, they zigzag here and there. They don't make a beeline back and forth.
They're unpredictable.
Kind of right, they're very unpredictable. And I think that's why there's, you know, now with tracking devices, they would be able to gather more information.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm looking for the map. I'll try to find it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, so I get their emails all the time, so I'll look at their emails and see if I can find it. Wow, that was a really good picture.
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wait. I went to there, and it brought me to, Project Snowstorm. It went blog.nature.org. I wonder if there's a different... Oh, I'm going to go to Project Snowstorm.
Okay.
See, it redirected me.
Yeah.
There's someone's, some Google, so someone paid
Google.
That other website, paid Google to take you to
away
from Project, the actual Project Snowstorm site. Now I have it.
Huh.
Now I can.
Now, do you see the interactive map?
I do. I'm going to copy that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes right here. Let's see. Click. Like, you can keep talking, Kim. I'm just putting the...
We don't have our U.S. before if we have a Hedwig or any owl on the back shore. We don't have any owls on the back shore right now. None right in Gloucester that I know of.
Oh, wow, this is so cool. This map, check out the map because it's right on that page that we linked to. New Hampshire, they got one.
Is that the one that they tracked last year or...
Let's see what it says. Nickname Wells. Weight 2,005 grams. Date released. Oh, it was a long time ago. 1/25/2017 from Portland Jetport. They always say that they love to congregate on airports because it resembles the tundra, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought it was because of the rodents.
I think it's more than it looks like the tundra.
Okay.
Like think of
that makes perfect sense.
Right. Think of the owls at Salisbury Beach and Cranes and Parker
mm-hmm.
River. There's a lot of areas that look the marsh looks like a tundra.
Yeah.
Sandy beaches. And I noticed they especially like on the sandy beaches, they like the areas where there's a little dried out vegetation too. So it really is very tundra-ish looking.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Oh, here you go. Wow, there's the interactive map. This is cool. So then you click on the individual owl, and it shows you all the different places where it pinged.
Yeah.
Where it GPSed. So this one is actually gone.
He's going in kind of a straight line there. I mean, straight for an owl.
Sort of, yeah, like a north trajectory. He hung out in this one little area right here in North Dakota for a while. You can see how many times he pinged
right there.
Yeah. ProjectSnowstorm.com.
Yeah.
And you click on the map, and then you can click on the individual. They have the list of all the different owls' names.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating.
It would have been cool to have our owl tagged.
Tagged, yeah.
Was there a reason they didn't do that?
You know.
Could you reach out to them next time, potentially, or do you not want people to get close to the owl because it's all yours?
Usually they the ones that are tagged in Massachusetts are the ones that are captured at the airport.
But I didn't see any tag there from the map.
I don't know. It was in 2017 that they tagged one and released it at Salisbury Beach. So before if an owl is tagged at the airport before Christmas, they release it on the South Shore.
Oh, here's the Salisbury Beach one right here, Kim.
Okay, what's his name? Did it say what his name is?
Let's see. Chickatalbot. Chickatalbot, Salisbury Beach, yeah.
Okay.
March 8th, 2017.
Teen, right.
Female.
No, wait. What about the one last year?
They don't have that one on the line. I want to find Chickatalbot on here. Mm-hmm. We can see that.
Here it is.
Oh, okay. Returning owls. Let's see. I'm dying to see the map of it. Oh, wow. Way up to.
Look
where it goes.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
This is a cool map. And you can drag the map around.
Nice.
So the ones that they capture at the airport, they release.
In Salisbury?
No, they release those south of Boston if it's before Christmas time. If it's after Christmas, then they release them north of Boston. Because this way they're starting to move northward a little bit, and they don't want to release them in like Salisbury after before Christmas because they're afraid they'll go back to the airport. So that's the reason for that.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
That's a
thing. There's owls all around, but we're not having an eruptive year like we had last year.
Right.
So
we haven't seen one. Has anyone seen any one on the back shore at all?
No.
I had that false alarm there where all the birders were turned around towards the hotel where we had spotted them often.
You thought maybe
I was that must be it.
But that's, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then we have harp seals right now, and not just on Good Harbor Beach, but they're at New Hampshire beaches, South Coast Massachusetts beaches. So I just really want to stress to people, because even though I didn't post about it, I did have an encounter with a guy, and he brought his daughter, two dogs, and himself, and he was walking right towards the seal. And so when I asked him very nicely, I just said, excuse me, sir, but because the police, we were asking for some kind of roping and taping, but that didn't happen. So a lot of us just kept checking on him during the day and trying to talk to people mm-hmm. when we were there.
Yeah.
It was so cold we couldn't stay. You couldn't possibly stay there for more than an hour. But he was headed right to the seal with his daughter and two dogs. And
they bite.
And they bite, right. And they bite you, they'll bite the dog, they'll bite your child. And
it will take you down.
No, and
that's nature. Nature. The animals want to eat you.
Right.
You know me.
Well, the thing is,
animals are bred to eat.
Right, to survive.
There's a food chain.
To defend themselves. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just stating facts here.
I'm gonna
post this picture. It's gonna be a little controversial. I didn't take it, but somebody else did.
You can't help yourself.
But it just really shows.
She can't help herself.
No, it just really shows. When you see it, you'll just die.
Is it gonna be a seal biting a child?
You're gonna say, "Wait till you see the picture."
Awesome.
Anyway.
That sounds great.
Right.
See what kind of trouble you can get the blog into.
Right. You'll see, and people have to see what's going on, because it's just, whether it's owls or seals, it's this. It's cell phones going up to a seal and an owl like this. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, you're not going to get a close-up picture with your cell phone.
It's going to fly away.
It's going to fly away, or it's going to bite you, or you're going to stress it out. And it's so when you see a snowy owl on the beach during the day, it needs to rest. And this is a problem that wildlife is having all around in these habitats, because it needs to rest and it needs to eat. And if you constantly disturb it, and maybe one disturbance, but the other day I saw a photographer
I think that they should only issue like one permit in each state, and you should have that permit to take the pictures and no one else.
No, but that's why people have 400mm lenses,
right.
Or 600mm lenses, or 700mm.
So you can get right in on it without disturbing it.
Without disturbing it. Like, okay, the other day I was filming one, and I was with it for maybe an hour and a half, just quietly sitting there, just filming. I was doing really cute things. Then a guy comes down with a cell phone.
This evil, evil man.
And he chased the bird up and down the beach for an hour, like just getting into its face. It would sit there
for that crappy cell phone picture.
For that crappy cell phone picture, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's distressing.
Well, but. Sorry to hear that. I just want to mention, we're not going to go into this, but we're gonna. I'm just going to mention it, and I would go further into it if it wasn't sold out, but because of the popularity of this yearly event, the Cape Ann Chamber Winter Birding Boat Trip is Saturday, March 2nd, 2019. Well, I should say this. The trip is sold out, but please call the office to be put on the wait list in case there's cancellations if you're interested. I put a link. You can check it out. Pat went on it last year. You said it was ridiculous.
I loved it, yeah.
And also, Carrie told me it sold out really, really early, so maybe they should think about doing two trips or something. I don't know, but
it's not a bad idea. Yeah. Well, there you go. Winter Birding Boat Trip, March 2nd, 2019, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Click on the link or go.
Bless you.
Goodness gracious, that came up on me.
Gee, the two of you.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
CapeAnnChamber.com for more information. There you go. We got a first podcast in a couple of weeks in the books, huh?
Awesome.
Thank God. We're going to do one Sunday, too.
Okay.
Just so everybody's
here. 3:20.
Huh?
It's 3:20.
What's
this?
This is number
320.
Oh,
no, 321.
That's what I told you.
Okay.
It's 320. Jim, don't throw people off now. Jim's trying to sabotage us. It's 321, Jim.
Jimmy's not feeling too well today.
What happened, Jimmy? You're under the weather?
He's got a cold.
Sinuses, yeah.
Oh.
Sinusitis?
It's a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better, Jim.
I'm going to be fine. Now that I can hang up the poster, I'm going to be fine.
All right, here we go. The exit music's coming. Boom.
Down. That's her exit music.
Can we get a picture? You putting the poster up?
Yes.